Well, as one of our three guests in studio this morning, John Mealy, was reminding me before we turned on the microphones, last time we met with two-thirds of our crew here, we were sitting in a parking lot somewhere out in Middletown or something like that. But we will let it not be said we won't go anywhere to help an organization like Family Reentry. I have to say, going back in excess of 20 years on the award-winning For the People, we have had the opportunity to talk about and promote this organization, which has been around since 1984 and started as a reentry support group for men at the Isaiah House in Bridgeport. And it's grown into a real intervention, reentry, and family and children's program. Community-based, critically important, as we will hear, and really making such a life difference for folks who have transitioned from incarceration. And what a track record of reducing and completely eliminating recidivism among so many of the folks who have come under the kind of arms wrapped around care of Family Reentry. Kind of like the hug I got this morning when I saw John out in the lobby. So John, thanks for coming once again, and we really appreciate the great work you and Dai McKnight are doing here, and I'm so excited to talk to Ricky in just a few minutes. But tell me about your history with Family Reentry, how long you've been on it, and how you heard about it and why you came to it.
Well, thank you, John, and thank you for the opportunity to bring in this information to our community. I got involved as a volunteer mentor because this is a transitions mentoring program, and I was involved for 5 years, and I got a little bit more involved than just mentoring a young man. And eventually the gentleman that was in charge, he left, so they I moved into that position. So I've been doing this since 2000. Mm-hmm. And my experience has been just heartwarming, because when it works, it's a beautiful thing to experience, and the feelings are the important thing. What we have been doing, we're coming upon our second annual awareness fundraiser, because unfortunately the state of Connecticut withdrew all our funds, so we have been self-funded for a few years now. And I think that also shows how people in the community support us, because we're actually going on to our fourth year of that.
Self-funded.
Right. Yeah. And what I want to stress is that the importance of showing up is because you will witness the real heroes of this program, the real people that make this program work. And those are the individuals that are incarcerated, go through this program and this process while in Manson Youth, and then more importantly, come back out into the community and give back to the community. To me, they're my heroes. They have the courage and the strength to go through, from coming from jail as a teenager and going into the community and getting their life together is no small task.
Yeah. So I was going to say, sort of the horrible and inaccurate cliche is that when a young person goes bad and they go into an institutional setting, they go into a university for crime, basically. They go into a situation where they are most vulnerable to be taken on by older individuals or others who want to see them continue doing whatever it is that put them there, basically. And Connecticut has really has expressed some leadership. It's sadly ironic that, as we talked about before, that the funding has been cut at a time when Connecticut has been so focused on reducing prison populations and has been dealing with this Second Chance Society initiative that's now being picked up on a federal level and across the country. But from your perspective, John, and with all of the experience that you've had since 2000, tell me a couple of the reasons why you think Family Reentry has worked so well, and why so few of the people that you met on day one as they came into the program have ended up having to go back or turn back to that life that they are trying so desperately to get out of.
Well, I think what defines that is that we, Daeed and I, work with these young men, and we let them know that they're worth it. that they're good as anyone else, that their mistake does not define them. And what number one thing that we offer in family reentry is the opportunity to change their lives. Again, they have to take that action, but at least we're giving them the opportunity. And the way I look at it, it's just like an opportunity we all get offered when we're growing up. Now, these young men, some because of certain situations, circumstances, maybe that opportunity isn't there all the time. So when they come into our program, we let them know, and I believe Daeed and I probably learned this more from Daeed than anyone, we do not judge. We treat them as equals, and we want them to be part of a life that is worth it. And I think that's why they succeed. Unfortunately, there's situations and circumstances and difficulties. I wish we had 100%, but I believe our influence and our trying to do the best we can brings more to being into the community as a solution rather than the problem than everyone coming back. And it's important to let them know that we are in this together.
Daeed, in your experience, I mean, certainly the world is full of a measure of bad people who are going to be bad to the core and they're going to do bad things. But my feeling is, you know, you have probably seen an equal number, maybe a lot more people who have been dealing with demons like substance abuse, the kind of baggage that they're carrying from an abusive childhood situation. Certainly that puts them at a disadvantage. But in your experience, tell us a little bit about all the good that you're able to help the people in family reentry discover in themselves.
First, let me say peace be unto you and everyone. And thanks, John, for having us this morning. The first thing I would like to say is that sometimes people are a product of their condition or conditions that contribute to shaping their personality. It's just like if you have H2O is water, but if you put it under 212 degrees, it's going to change its expression. It's going to become steam. Mm. If you take that same H2O, you put it under 32 degrees Fahrenheit, it's going to change its expression. It's going to express itself as ice. So I go in with the premise of, if you can change the condition of the mind and it's cognitive and change the way people think about themselves and about others, and this is the core of our program when we go in, and the evidence-based research supports this, that if anyone's going to change, it has to happen in the prison prior to coming out, because the only thing that really changes if the person doesn't change is their address. It goes from being incarcerated to being released back to society. So we work real hard on the cognitive stuff. And I think that's what's made the program so successful. And I appreciate the people that have contributed to keeping this program alive. I thank God for them, because when the state cut that budget, they really hurt the great work that Family Reentry, that John was doing with the Transitions Mentoring Program, not only changing young men's lives, but it was also because of the fact that they changed their lives, it was reducing recidivism and it was reducing crime. A lot of the drop in crime and in violent crime was a result of this program and a lot of programs like this. And when we had the Yale research attached to Family Reentry, they did come to the conclusion that the men who were engaged by the programs at Family Reentry, their recidivism rate was half of that of the overall state's recidivism rate. So the numbers, the proof is in the numbers. I think that the good that I see is that we get young men, you talk about a second chance, we get young men who never had a first opportunity. And to see for the first time them coming into contact with getting a glimpse of their potential and having someone work with them, believe in them, you know, not just the money that supports this program for basic supportive reentry, supportive services, IDs, driver's license, maybe a Walmart card. It may be to get an OSHA 10, OSHA 30. It may be to get a forklift certification to make people more marketable, more employable. But also the fact that John even has a whole array of resources that are volunteer resources. The people from Yale who come in and tutor these young men who are struggling with taking their GED while they're in prison, trying to get their high school diploma. And he's got a whole force of young tutors from Yale University that come in and donate their time. And not to mention, the most important part are the mentors that donate their time to connect with a young man inside and walk with him on the inside. And when he's released, guide him through the process of life on the outside, which is an element that was missing from the beginning.
Great. We're going to come back and talk more about that and the resources with John Mealy. Also, just hearing from Dae McKnight of Family Reentry. And we're going to meet Ricky Jordan when we come back from our break. So we're going to have move the mic over and be back in just a few moments. Stick with us. Do you love Connecticut? If you do, there are hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots organizations that would love to have your support. You can learn about many of them through Love CT. Just go to our radio station website, hit the event guide tab, and click on to Love CT to help the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. I'm Connoisseur Media's Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. We'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. NAMI family support groups offered by NAMI affiliates and communities across the country are free, confidential, and safe groups of families helping other families who are living with mental health challenges. Family members who attend can achieve a renewed sense of hope for their loved ones living with mental health challenges. NAMI Fairfield is offering a new NAMI family support group for family members, caregivers, and friends living with a loved one with mental health challenges, and it's going to be held on the fourth Tuesday of every month starting October 22nd from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Bird's Eye Municipal Complex in Stratford. Find out more about NAMI and NAMI Fairfield by clicking on namifairfield.org. We're back with a panel representing Family Reentry. They've got a big event coming up in Orange on October 25th. We're going to tell you a little bit more about that before we wrap the program. But we do want to remind you that this program over the past three plus decades has provided effective community-based development, significantly reducing the likelihood that their clients will reoffend, be rearrested, or be reincarcerated. We're going to meet one of the success stories of Family Reentry, Ricky Jordan. Here with us. We're going to chat with him in a couple minutes. But John, I just wanted to pick up on something Dae was talking about before the break. And it's something that we really try to reiterate every single time that we visit over the many years that we've worked with you and predecessors at Family Reentry. And that is, it's not just a mentoring program. It's it is a community of people who believe in the mission and really kind of wrap themselves around every single candidate and have the benefit of this huge network of resources, if not just the people, but other agencies that are excited to help. They jump in, they really put energy toward helping because Family Reentry works.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because not only the community and the businesses that help with jobs and all those sorts of things, but we also get involved while these young men are incarcerated with their families and the people that care and support about them, support them. And we get involved with them to add another layer of support and love and guidance. And those are very important things to bring all the information about how to go out and get a job. It's pretty nice to come home when you get two or three doors slapped in your closed in your face, and you could say to someone that cares about you, you know, it didn't go too well today, but I'm going to try again tomorrow. And that's the important piece, and that's where this whole thing comes in. We try to bring it all, and we're one of the first programs to be able to work with these young men when they're released. That wasn't something that was done in this state for a long time. And we worked very hard to get that permission. We, Daeed and I, have found out that that's probably the key to not only the change within the prison, you have to start that change, but when you get out, to have someone to help you and guide you through some difficult situations when you're not experienced with them. I mean, it's not that easy to get out and go, how do I get insurance? How do I get a car? How do I get my ID? All those things. You know, we don't know what we don't know. And this is the things that we start from the bottom up.
Yeah.
It's so it encompasses, like you said, the whole package. And it has been successful. And this young man that you're going to hear from, Ricky, I was with him for, we've been with him since he was 15. And he did his time, which was 6 years, 5 years?
Almost 7 years.
And you will hear how he's doing out here. Yeah. I had the honor of, me and my wife went to his baby shower, and it was beautiful with his fiance. And he's living the life that he deserves. So right. I'm honored to be a part of this program.
Well, Ricky, such a great honor also and a privilege to meet you and have you on the program. I've been so lucky to meet individuals like you over the years, thanks to John and the folks at Family Reentry, and more lately, Day, when I met him last year. So obviously you're here, you're out. You're being kind of touted as an example of what the potential of family reentry is. What got you in?
Foremost, I want to say thank you, John, for this opportunity.
Absolutely.
And these two men behind me, they wouldn't take the credit, but I wouldn't be who I am today without them. Starting back, you know, growing up from a single family home, just having my mom, lacking a father figure, her trying to implement principles, and I'm being rebellious. So that put me in a position where I felt like I was my own man. Got in with the wrong crowd. I was 14 years old, and I ended up being sentenced to 7.5 years. I did almost 7 years of that. So from 14 to 22 years old, I was incarcerated. I had no prior record before. So this was something that was completely new to me.
At what point did you hear about family reentry, and was it something that you heard about it and you had to think about it and kind of make the shoe fit eventually, or was it something that, like, the light went on as soon as you heard about it?
Well, going in at 14, initially I was, you know, like I said, rebellious. I did get into a lot of trouble at first. I felt like, since, because I was so young and there was a lot of people around me, like my peers that were much older than me, that felt like, you know, they could probably either take advantage of me or try to belittle me. I felt like I had to kind of make a stand, which was foolish because I didn't have to go about the violence way, but I felt like that was the only way possible or feasible for me to.
That's all you knew at the time,
right? Yeah. And that's all I knew. And then about a year later, after my incarceration, I was able to meet John and Daeed. It was just a program. You just sign up. I'm thinking, oh, just another one of these programs I'm going to, you know, going to do. But going in and having that adolescent mindset still, I'm still molding. I'm still growing. I'm still developing. My initial encounter, it was instantaneously. It was a bond that was, like, there. So being able just to hear their principles, hearing what they had to offer, and hearing, like, just how much they, someone to say that they're proud of you and your growth, for them just to believe in me from the beginning. They saw my potential before I saw it in myself. And it's not like it would just mentor me one time and, all right, you're good. It stuck through me through the whole time. I actually became a peer mentor, and actually became like a mentor within their program and helped mentor other inmates that was in their group, and begin to lead the way and lead by example. And then from there, I was able to transition and be with these guys out here. I've been out for about over a year now. I already have, I have my own place. I have my own car. I have a 3-month-year-old son. Every job I had, I was a management or lead position. And it's just, I'm living life. I already have my 60-hour certification for real estate. Next month, I take my test, and I'll have the actual Connecticut Bar Real Estate. And then I'm actually going for a certification for a tax preparer for Jackson Hewitt.
Excellent. So when I wanted to ask you, when, you know, at what point, John, like, unravel that big checklist of all the other people and organizations that might be available to help you. Could you name one or two other key people that kind of flew in out of the universe onto your radar screen that also made a significant difference?
Yeah, absolutely. Other than these two gentlemen, which is, like, now they're like my, they are my family. Anything I have to go to them, I know I can. But also my mom, building that bond with her, like I said, it was a little bit tenuous before. Now that I was able to go through that tough time and she was there with me every step of the way, that led me to show how much she truly cares, how much she truly loves me, how much she wants for me. So that bond is out the roof now. And I would say now currently is my son. He motivates me for everything. It's no longer, as soon as he had the building cord attached to him, the whole vision changed. It's no longer me, it's us, you know. Excuse me. So now it's just like it's unbelievable when you see, when you open up your mind and you allow it to expand and just see more than just what's to offer, but what can you offer? And now you extend the hand. It's so much that comes in return. Now I'm able to help in my community in several different ways. I actually created like a social media chat program for people that's reentering to kind of use as a pipeline.
Also
volunteered as like a midget football coach,
right,
help out with the youth. Anyway, I could kind of like have that opportunity that I didn't have when I was younger, and just also kind of make that preventative action. It's very key that these, when guys are incarcerated and they're being released, that transition is very important.
Yeah.
But also what's very important is trying to just complete that process altogether and prevent that, so they don't have to go through that cycle.
Yeah, and you know also, what I mean? Well, put you in a place where you could see a kid at 9, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old and see yourself in that kid and be able to intervene and maybe, you know, put yourself to the best of your ability. And with the knowledge you now have as a father, to be able to speak to that level to another young person. So, you know, congratulations to you for your success. Ricky Jordan, one of the hundreds and hundreds of young people who have benefited from family reentry. And in the last minute or so that we have, John, we got to make it real quick. But if people are inspired by what they're hearing, or they're hearing about an organization that obviously has exhibited the need and the outcomes that demand support, you might want to come out on October 25th, not just to support family reentry, but to meet these people face to face, because you may make a commitment to this organization for life, like so many other people that I know that have met family reentry and gotten involved. So, John, just give us the lowdown on the event and the website, and then we'll set you guys loose for today, and or Dai, whoever wants to do it. And
John. So as you mentioned, the event is October 25th, 7 p.m. at Orange Hills Country Club. It's our second annual. We will have served wonderful hors d'oeuvres and beverage. And the important part is, as John mentioned, you will meet young men like Ricky. Ricky will certainly be there. And I have we have a few other young men that are going to be and share their story. And that's where you get the feeling of what Daeed and I feel on a regular basis. And our website is familyreentry.org. And you could figure out the transition event and anything else. And as far as other things for you people in the community to get involved with, there's volunteer mentoring. Ricky was affected by a couple men while he was incarcerated and after. And Ricky also got his GED in Manson through the help of the Yale undergraduates. So it's all encompassing. Please come and be part of it and help us continue to try to succeed.
familyreentry.org. You can see why I bring these folks back every chance I get, because it just makes me feel great and gives me, you know, reaffirms the privilege that I have for doing this program for you guys. So thank you. John Mealy, Dai McKnight, long and dear friend, John. Dai, more recent dear friend. Ricky Jordan, brand new friend, all with Family Reentry. Come on out on October 25th. Meet these folks. Support this organization if you can. And if you can't, just go to their website and see if you can become inspired to at least chat this organization up. Maybe share it on your social network. If you know somebody who's incarcerated or out of incarceration and maybe not moving down the right road, Family Reentry may be the place for them. So thank you guys for being on the program this morning. Once again, congratulations, Ricky, on your family, on your success, and maybe next year when I'm ready to get my taxes done, I know who to call. Thank you guys.
Excellent.
For coming in. All right, bye.